The Bible says that for everything there's a season, there's a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. For everything there is a season. Now, what do we know about the seasons? We know that the seasons are always changing. That's just the way it is. Preschool graduation 2017 took place right here in the sanctuary a few weeks ago. Aren't they cute, these kids? Now, these are the same little ones who came to us clinging to their parents' legs. And on this day, a couple weeks ago, they walked down the aisle to pomp and circumstance. All grown up, big kids now, and headed off to kindergarten. Life would never be the same. The seasons are always changing, and that is a given in God's created order. High school seniors are leaving their schools, their friends, their teachers, and their families as the next chapter of their story unfolds. The seasons are always changing, and our bodies are changing. On this Father's Day, who is it that looks back at you in the mirror? Is that you? Or is it your dad? Is that you, or does that reflection look more like your mother? The seasons are always changing. Our climate and our culture is changing. I guess there are only three constants in life: God, change, and the fact that Republicans and Democrats cannot get along. Kind of makes me wonder if they went to preschool. Now, there's a whole lot in our text this morning, and we're going to catch a glimpse of the human condition, a condition that we all share together. We will see the very heart of God, and we will discover God's calling for us, and then we will be given permission to fail. Maybe that's not exactly correct. We will be told that God expects us to experience failure. The seasons are always changing. My prayer this morning is that we might open our eyes, that God might open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see. And once we see, once our eyes are opened, that we might make informed decisions and live life in a way that's healthy for us, beneficial to our neighbors, respectful of creation, and pleasing to God. Every day we make decisions. Every day we make life decisions. And every decision bears fruit, some kind of fruit. Every decision comes with blessings and curses, the natural consequences of the choices that we make. Now we're going to enter the text. We're going to see what Jesus is up to. A gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news and curing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We're going to stop there for now. How is that for a description of the human condition? The particular details of the human experience, those particular details have changed through the centuries. The reality is most of us here in this sanctuary today, we're not worried about daily bread. We might be more worried about eating too much daily bread. Most of us here are not oppressed by the Romans. The truth is, the life of the people in the first century would be totally foreign to most of us. Most of those in the first century could not read, they could not write. They had no cell phones, no reality TV, no cars, no microwaves, no fast food. It kind of makes you wonder, how did they survive? Of course, they did not survive. Not for long, anyway. Children died all the time in Jesus' day. Mothers died in childbirth. Work sites were not safe. So let me just put it this way for perspective. If you have ever had an operation in your life, then you probably would have been dead if you'd been alive 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' day, the average lifespan was less than 40 years. Now, some lived longer, but most did not. Life was short then, life is short now. The details of day-to-day life are always changing, but the human condition has changed very little. 2,000 years after Jesus spoke these words, we are harassed, we are helpless, we are tired, we are broken, we are frightened, and we are depressed. Many of us are on medication. Our bodies are failing, our minds are forgetful. And what was my next point? Oh yes, our families. Our families are falling apart. Our families look very much like those families in the book of Genesis. You see, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Jesus looked out on the crowds. He saw the crowds. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, most of us don't have a lot of experience with sheep, but let me tell you, sheep without a shepherd die. They starve. Without a shepherd, they cannot find green pastures or still waters. Sheep without a shepherd, they're defenseless in a world where coyotes and wolves and lions and tigers and bears and other predators are stalking after them. Jesus looks out. He sees their affliction, and in his response, we see the heart of God. Jesus went to their villages. He shared good news with them. Do you like good news? Good news is good, right? But oftentimes, the good news of the religious people sounds very much like bad news. You are a sinner. God is mad at you. God is ashamed of you. Your suffering proves it. Your suffering is a punishment from God. And since you are a sinner, you're not welcome in God's house. Because of your sin, you're going to suffer in this life. And I got to tell you, the next life doesn't hold a lot of promise for you either. Does that sound like good news to you? It's not good news at all. The text says Jesus went to their villages and he proclaimed good news. So what does good news sound like? Jesus taught them saying, don't think for a moment that you're alone. Don't think for a moment that God has forgotten you. Don't think that God is punishing you. Don't believe the self-righteous religious people who tell you that your suffering is a sign of God's disdain for you. Good news. What does good news sound like? God loves you. God forgives you. God never leaves your side. God wants only good for you. God will always welcome you home. And if you do not come home, God will come looking for you. Jesus spoke words of forgiveness and hope. Good news. What does good news sound like? Jesus said, your suffering is not God's will. And let me prove that for you. Jesus backed up his words with deeds. He healed people from all kinds of diseases. He cast out demons. He cured the sick. He fed the poor, and he touched the untouchable. Now that sounds like good news, does it not? Jesus shared good news saying, yeah, I know. I know the religious people told you that you were cursed by God, but I'm telling you, blessed are you who are poor now, for yours will be the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will not weep forever. No, I promise you that you will laugh again. So hold on, be patient, the seasons will change. This is the gospel of Jesus. And he backed it up with his life, washing feet, speaking tender words of forgiveness, loving others and encouraging others to know that they are loved so that they might be free to love in return. Jesus spent his very life comforting the broken and the distressed, comforting sheep without a shepherd, comforting the lost, and confronting. Confronting who? The religious people. Confronting the religious people in their self-righteous hypocrisy. Who are we in that scenario? Well, I'm thinking we're both. And so we pray, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Help us to see. Back to our text, Jesus now calls together his followers. That would include a tax collector by the name of Matthew. That would include the betrayer known as Judas Iscariot. Jesus gathered them together and he sent them out into a world that needed good news. He sent them out two by two. No one would go alone. He sent them out to proclaim the good news. He sent them out to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and to cast out demons. They were an early version of Doctors Without Borders, or a traveling Mayo Clinic. Now, their work would be joyful, but Jesus knew the work would not be easy. Jesus told them, not everyone's going to appreciate your words. Not everyone's going to appreciate your work. The rich, yeah, they're not going to like it. The religious, they're going to be offended by God's grace spoken to the poor. Jesus said, I'm sending you out, but I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. Now, let's be very clear. Jesus expected them to change the world, and they did. But Jesus also expected them to fail, or at least to experience failure on a regular basis. Jesus said this, if anyone will not welcome you, if anyone will not listen to your words, shake the dust from your feet and keep right on moving. If they don't appreciate your words, if they take offense at grace, if they are threatened by acts of kindness, and they will be, I guarantee you there are going to be times when you're going to be rejected. And when that happens, just shake the dust off your clothes. Don't give it a second thought and just keep on going. You see, Jesus gave them permission to fail. Jesus expected them to experience rejection and defeat. So I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like a failure? If the answer is yes, then you are just the kind of person that Jesus is looking for. Winston Churchill said, success consists of going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. Have you ever heard of the Detroit Automobile Company? Of course you haven't. Henry Ford started that company, and the company went bankrupt. Not to give up, Henry Ford started a new company. He named it after himself, the Henry Ford Company, and things didn't go well there, and he left the company with his head between his tail. Then he started the Ford Motor Company, and the rest is history. Thomas Edison invented the electric light bulb. The electric light bulb would change the world. But Edison had nearly 10,000 attempts that did not produce a successful light bulb. Edison was asked at one point if he was discouraged or considered giving up, and his response was this. He said, why would I feel like a failure, and why would I give up? I now know definitely over 9,000 ways that electric light bulb will not work. Success is almost in my grasp, he said. Kobe Bryant, remember Kobe Bryant? He missed more shots than any player in NBA history. Five times in his career, Babe Ruth led the league in strikeouts. For every home run he hit, he struck out twice. You see, failure is a part of the human journey. And Jesus does not expect his followers to be immune from this human trait. If you experience failure, just get up, brush yourself off, and keep right on going. Are you fighting addiction this morning? If so, you need to know that God has not given up on you. If you're divorced and lost, well, many in this parish have been where you are right now. Don't give up. The seasons will change. Can't seem to get calculus? Join the club. Finances are a mess. Many of us have been there. Children are not talking to you. Can't get along with your in-laws. Father Day is not a joyful day for you. Well, let's just say that families are complicated. Neighbors are driving you crazy. You've got a lot of company on that one. Fed up with Washington, D.C.? Don't just sit around complaining. Don't just vent on Facebook. Get involved, be informed, write letters, make phone calls, vote, resist, do what you need to do. When Jesus looked out on the crowds, they looked so very human. The human condition was apparent to him. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus spoke words of hope and optimism and forgiveness and love to them. Jesus healed and hugged. He got busy, and he would not be discouraged, and he did not give up, even when he was dying on the cross. Even as he was dying on the cross, he was still reaching out for prodigal children and stray sheep. As he was dying on the cross, Jesus looked over at a thief, and he said, you know, I know you've been lost, but you're not lost now. You're with me. And today, you'll be with me in paradise. The seasons are changing. High school seniors are moving on. Summer, it's rumored, will soon be here. Children will soon be grown and out of the house. The nest will someday be empty. And the Father that we honor today will not always be around to be hugged. The seasons are changing. And so we pray, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes that we might see clearly what is really important in life. Open our eyes that we might worry less about possessions and more about love. Open our eyes that we might care less about other people's perceptions and more about loving our neighbor. Open our eyes, Lord. The journey is so fleeting. Make choices with your eyes wide open. Because if you don't make choices with your eyes wide open, then life will just happen to you. And the next thing you know, it will be gone. Don't let life just happen to you. On this Father's Day, may God give us eyes to see and the wisdom to live. Amen.